or someone who might be a little different, let your light shine. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5 and 16, I had you turn there just a moment ago. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and they can glorify your Father in heaven. I want you to know, it doesn't matter if you're in kindergarten, first, second, third grade, all the way up to you're pushing 90. When you let your light shine for Jesus Christ, people will see God working. And I think you can tell yourself that every day before you go into the classroom, I'm going to let my light shine today. Bradley was asking me what songs I wanted to let today, and he joked, I might let you know, a little light of mine. You can just remember that. I'm going to let my light shine. I'm not going to hide it. That's what he says there in those verses. I'm not going to hide it under a basket. I'm not going to let Satan blow it out. It means I'm not going to let bad things change who a mom and dad taught me to be. Let your light shine. And I think you guys will have a great, great school year. All right, they're probably already tired of listening to me. And so we'll let them get back. But I hope, parents, that's a good reminder. Just remind them every day, let their light shine. I want to talk to the teens and the young college for just a moment. Some of you are going to experience things for the very first time. And I want you to remember what the Ecclesiastes writer told us in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let's turn there together. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and this is after several chapters of him experiencing life. Solomon, who I believe wrote this letter, spent several chapters saying, I was trying to find some sort of meaning to life. I was trying to find some sort of happiness. And so he says, I took for myself women, I took for myself slaves and property, and I built myself these huge homes and these vineyards. He said, I ate whatever I wanted, I drank whatever I wanted. He says, I partied when I wanted. In fact, he would say in the very first few chapters, whatever my heart desires, I did not keep from it. And in a lot of ways, that's what we're taught to do nowadays as young people. That when you're in school, especially you get up to those senior years, those college years, you're away from home for the very first time, you're going to see and experience things maybe for the very first time, and we are taught as a society to do it and to enjoy it. And if you desire it, then do it and take it and have it. But after all was said and done, when he enjoyed life, if we want to call it that, he said in chapter 12, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. And he goes on to describe old age, before old age comes. He says this at the very end of that same chapter in verse 13. He says, let us hear the conclusion on this matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring back every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. I mentioned already, there's going to be a lot of new things that you have probably never experienced before. There'll be a lot of new temptations, a lot of new tests, a lot of new friends. There will be dating and there will be parties, there will be experiences. But remember what Solomon said. Remember your Creator. Remember Him. Remember the conclusion on the whole matter. He said, I've spent my lifetime doing everything I wanted to do, and here's what was most important at the end of the day. Fear God, keep His commandments. This is man's all. You want to amount to something in life? It's going to be by fearing God and keeping His commandments. By remembering your Creator. Remembering who you are, as my dad used to tell me as I walked out the door on a Friday night. This is kind of a weird time in these young people's lives because they're going to figure out very quickly mom and dad will not be there to tell them no all the time. I've told this story several times before, but when I was in college, I went cross country to Florida while my parents stayed in California, and there was one morning where we had some friends wake up and they said, let's go to Georgia. And I had never had a Georgia peach before. I'm a California boy, and I had always heard of Georgia peaches. I said, that sounds great. I want to get me a Georgia peach. And so we hit the road. It's about three and a half hours from Tampa to Florida, or to Georgia, the state line. We were just going to go right across the state line, find a grocery store, get a peach, eat some lunch, come back, and then we'd be back at school. And I thought somewhere along the way, while we were already on our drive, I should probably let mom and dad know that I'm going to be driving to Georgia today. And I was was on the road. I said, Mom, I just want to let you know we're driving to Georgia. We're going to eat some lunch there. We're going to turn around and go back to school. And she said, I really prefer you not do that. It's dangerous. I don't know who you're driving with. I said, well, Mom, I'm already like halfway there. I said, I was just calling as a courtesy so that you know where I was. And it hit me at that moment. Mom and Dad aren't here to say yes or no. Mom and Dad aren't there for me to set my alarm clock and go to Bible class or the worship service on a Sunday morning. Mom and Dad aren't there to say, you know what, homework can wait. Friends can wait. Sports can wait. Whatever it is, you're going to be a Bible class. You're going to be a worship service. And so to those, I'll just say, if Mom and Dad aren't there, remember your Creator. Because He's there. He's with you. And that's not a, He's watching, so watch out. That is, He's with you. He wants you to succeed. He deserves to be worshipped. He deserves to be praised. He deserves to be lived for. But I'll also say one more thing to this age group before we move on. And that is, don't let anyone despise your youth. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. As you're turning there, my older brother and I had a joke as we were growing up. I know I've told our high school class this before when I make similar points to them. But I said, you know, when we were in high school, we were the football players. And so we would be lifting weights and we were getting really big. And so the only time Kevin and David were useful is when chairs and tables needed to be moved for potlucks and load up cars and chairs so we could take them to so-and-so's house. And can you meet us there and unload? Can you load them back up and take them back to the church building? We said, we were just the chair boys. Can I say something to our young people, our high school and our college? You are so much more to God's kingdom than chair movers. Timothy was a young preacher. Granted, probably a little bit older than some of our high school and college age kids. But it says there in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 12. It says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come again, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Now I understand, unless I'm mistaken, there is not a young person here who has been given the Holy Spirit by the elders before. But you have been given something by your parents, and I believe by this congregation, hopefully. And that is, you have been given an understanding and a love for God and for Jesus and His Word. And as a young person, you are not a useless member in this congregation or in the kingdom of God. You are a vital member to what happens in God's kingdom. And I believe what Paul's words say there, when you go out into the world, don't let anyone despise your youth. Don't let anyone tell you you can't do something or be successful spiritually because you're young. You are an example in what you do and in what you say and in how you love and in how you live. You've been given the Word of God. Do not neglect that gift. Do not neglect what has been given to you. And so it says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine or the teachings. Continue to learn. Continue to give yourself to God. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Back to the example. You're an example. And you can do awesome things for the kingdom of God. Stick with it. Remember your Creator. Don't let anyone despise your youth. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. I want to speak to the young adults here for just a moment. You're out of college. You're living life. You're in the big boy, the big girl world now. Maybe you're married. You're starting to have children of your own. I want you to read what Proverbs 11 and verse 14 says. It would help if I'm in Proverbs and not Psalm 11. There's only 14 verses in that Psalm, in that Proverb. But there is in Proverbs 11 if I'm in the right place. Proverbs 11 and verse 14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I preached over and over and over again at this congregation about some of the statistics that is plaguing our spiritual world today. And that is 7 out of 10 young people are leaving their faith for the very first time when they leave home. And then we sit here and we wonder why we have so many people leaving. And there's lots of answers we can talk about with that. Someone wrote a book on that that you can go get and you can read. But I believe there's one thing that we can start doing today, before you even walk out these doors. And this is really for everybody, but I believe those young adults that are just out of college experiencing life for the first time, those married, those young, you can be single, married, just having kids. I want you to look at that verse, and I want you to think, how can I counsel? How can I keep these young people safe? Because I believe I'm at the point now in my life when someone here is 34 that is considered an old man to some people. When I tell the high school class that when I was in high school there was no Facebook, they look at me like I'm ancient. But there's some of you who have been there, done that a whole lot more recent than I have. And so you young adults, I want you to remember this. You are an example. Those high school, those college kids, they're looking to you. They're looking at you to see what life is like at the next step. They're looking to you and saying, I want to be like that when I'm done with school. I want kids like that. I want a husband or a wife like that. I want to act like that. Or, and this is the sad scenario, they're also looking and saying, that's not who I want to model myself after. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. If we want our young people to succeed, it's going to be because we as a congregation, and I believe specifically those young adults, who will go and who will counsel those young people, who will be there for them, who remember those days and can sit down with them and say, I remember what it was like to leave home. I remember what it was like to be tempted. I remember what it was like to fall. Don't stay down. Get back up. Remember your Creator. Don't let anyone despise your youth. You are an example and they are watching. Don't forget you're a leader. I remember some of the young couples that I looked up to when I was in those high school and college age years. The ones I wanted to be like. The ones that I wanted to follow. The ones I thought were successful. They're watching. And I believe it's a responsibility, again, that we all have. But to counsel these people. We have some starting college for the first time, some leaving home, some that have already left. I don't think they would be disappointed if you just went to them and said, I'm here for you if you need me. Or give it a month when they're on campus and they're missing home for the very first time and just call, check in. How are you doing? Do you need to talk to somebody? How are you doing spiritually? Are you worshiping? Do you need somebody? Do you need me to pray for you? I don't think they would argue with that. To the parents, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'm speaking to myself for this one as well. Seven hours a day in school is a long time. More than that is probably spent sleeping at night. As I mentioned, we got ball. We have all these practices and band and projects and homework and all these other things. And then we're also told that the responsibility to teach them about God falls on the home. And I absolutely agree with that. The question is, where are we supposed to fit that in amongst everything else that we have going on? In Deuteronomy chapter 11, I think we get one of the best explanations for how to teach our kids about God and godly things. He says there in verse 18, he says, therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them like the days of the heavens above the earth. Parents, it is our responsibility to remind them daily, as was written in Deuteronomy chapter 11. And I'm not going to sit here and say you need to lay out some program, that you need to sit at the dining room table at 5 in the morning as soon as everyone's up and they're groggy-eyed eating breakfast. If that works for your family, great. It might be a nighttime, just read a couple verses and talk about them before they go to bed. But it may be no set lesson plan. It might just be driving in the car to school and you're talking about letting your light shine that day because that's what Jesus has asked us to do. About how we can treat people kindly. About how we can make right choices. And when I read Deuteronomy 11, he doesn't lay out some program for them to do with their children to talk to them about God. He says, you just do it and you do it all day. Do it when you're walking. Do it when you're sitting. Talk about it when you're eating a meal together. Talk about it on the way to school, on the way home from school. Talk about it when you're doing homework, before bed, when they wake up. Talk about it before they go to the ball field. Glorify God on that ball field. Let your mouth glorify God. Let your actions glorify God. The opposite team falls down, pick them up. Be kind. There are so many ways that we can look at our children and teach them about God every single day because they are going to be thrown to the wolves while away from home. And I believe it's absolutely vital for us as parents to step up and remind them daily. Because if we're not doing our part, other people will do it for us. And that's a scary, scary reality. Find those little precious times to talk to them. Trust them to remember what you've taught them. Talk to them daily. And then if I may, as I close for just a moment, speak to the rest of the congregation. Because you might be sitting here listening to this thinking, how does this even apply to me? My kids are grown, they're gone, I've got grandkids, no one's going back to school in my house. Do you remember how difficult those days were? To watch a kid walk onto a campus and not know who they're going to talk to, who they're going to sit by, what they're going to come home asking. All while trying to rush around, getting to all the after-school activities, picking up at multiple schools. It's a difficult time. There's a lot to process and a lot to go on for parents and these families. And so to the rest of the congregation, I would just simply say this. Support these kids and their families. Do everything we've already talked about. Because us families who are sending our kids to school, we're looking to that next generation. They did it, so can I. They did their years in the trenches, so can I. They sent their kids, they taught their kids, that's what I want to be like, that's who I want to be like. So that counsel we just talked about in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14, the reminding us, the calling, the texting, the sending cards, whatever it is, encourage them. For the parents, yes, but I would even go as far as say, even these kids. I remember what it was like getting a card from some of those older ladies at church when I was younger. Just to be thought of was so cool. So exciting. So encouraging. And I know this congregation is great at some of these things already. I try to remind us every year, and it's just a good reminder for us all to remember this next phase of life, this next chapter. And I believe what's most important, I think, often overlooked, this is a chance to start over for so many. You know, Wayne reads that poem at the beginning of every year about the blank page. For so many of our kids, this is your blank page. You get to start over this week. Isn't it amazing that we have a Savior who allows us spiritually to start over? That when the past is dirty and blotted, he offers us a fresh chance. He has done everything we've talked about today. He has been our example. He has been our light. He has been our leader. He has been our encouragement. He has been everything we've talked about today. He has been that for us. And he allows each one of us to say, if you're ready to start over, it's time to come home. It is time to come to me. And that option is here for everybody here today. It might be you need to come to him for the very first time. To be buried in the waters of baptism, rise up a completely brand new person. It might be you are here today and you are saying that I have lived this life of sin long enough. My pages are dirty. They're blotted. They're stained. I want to wipe it clean. I want that fresh start. I want to come back to Jesus. I want to follow him. That opportunity is here. If we can do anything for you this morning, come forward and stand.